Praise the Lord for that. So thankful this morning for a solid foundation upon which we can stand. And that foundation, as we have been preaching now for the last 8 or 9 weeks on this subject of foundation of truth, this is not based on opinions. It's not based on tradition. It's not just based on how we were raised, but there is a foundation that is solid, it is fixed, it is secure, it will stand the test of time, and that is founded on Jesus Christ, the Word of God. And then as revealed in His Scripture, there's something that is solid that if we do it like it says, it's going to see us safely home. So I am so thankful for a sure foundation. And the challenge is that I hope is being communicated to us by the Holy Spirit, is that we need to assess our lives and say, what is right? What is truth? Is this my opinion? Is this just my way? Or what does the Bible teach? What does the Bible say? What does God want in my life? And that means then that when we find ourselves maybe erring from that or deviating some, the Lord wants to bring us back into a place of obedience, that when someone says, why do you live like you do? It's more than mom and dad. It's a good place to start. But mom and dad don't have eternal life to give to us. They can't save us. It's more than, well, my church teaches. Because remember, there's lots of churches and congregations to which you can choose to find someone that would agree with maybe what your central belief is. You can find someone that might agree with you. But see, our belief system in and of itself is not going to redeem us. So we need to come back to the Word of God. And what we teach and what we preach should, and what we live should be founded and based on the Word of God. So we're going to pick up this morning with where we've been talking about foundation of truth. We've been speaking the last 3 or 4 weeks about principles. Principles. And we're going to speak about the subject of convictions this morning. There is a modern proverb that's, and I looked it up to see who said it, and there's a lot of controversy, and it's just really, you can't attribute it to one person. But there's a modern proverb that says, if you don't stand for something, you'll what? You'll fall for anything. So I think it's a fair question for us is in our pursuit of the Lord this morning is, what are you standing for? What do you stand for? Is it a fair question for all of us, young and old, whatever, wherever we're at, to come and say, what do you stand for spiritually? What are you standing for? We live in a world that isn't standing for much. We in the Christian world, in the religious world, there are very few Christians anymore, professed Christians, that are standing for something. And so I think it's fair for us to examine our life. What are you standing for this morning? What we stand for is when we are strongly persuaded of something. That's what I'm going to stand for. I stand for something that I believe with all of my heart. I stand for something that I have a strong, not just an opinion, but a firmly held, I'm persuaded that this is right and this is true, and I'll stand for that. Do you know I don't want to stand for something that I'm not sure about? If someone says, well, everybody that believes such and such, stand up. And if you don't believe that, you shouldn't stand up. But when there is something that's like, do you believe that the blood of Jesus cleanses from all sin? And someone said, are you willing to stand for that? I'll stand up first. I believe in that. I am convicted of that. I believe with all of my heart and all of my mind that the blood of Jesus cleanses from all sin. I'll stand up for that. Well, convictions, by definition, are strongly, deeply held beliefs and principles that guide our actions, decisions, and way of life. So the convictions that we have, they are our strong belief system. What do you believe is right? Convictions go beyond, and I want us to please understand this. Convictions go beyond just saying, well, yes, the Bible says such and such. Convictions are when you are personally persuaded of what the Scripture says. Now, there are people that hold wrong convictions. Our convictions that we hold should be based on what the Bible says. I believe what the Bible says, and I have a conviction, personally a strong belief of that. If I have a strong belief because my mom and dad taught me something, that might not be a scriptural conviction. So we want to go back to the Word of God and have our convictions based on truth. Something that stands the test of the changes of culture. Something that stands the test of the generational changes that occur in society. Truth does not change. I want to have convictions based on truth this morning. So the convictions that we have based on the Word of God need to be personally illuminated by the Holy Spirit. So if you will turn with me to the book of John in the 16th chapter, may the Lord bless His Word by His Spirit this morning. In the 16th chapter of John, in the 7th verse, Jesus was speaking to His disciples, and He said here, well, I was going to read out of John 7. That was good too. John chapter 16, verse 7. Jesus said, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient, it's wise, it's needful for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you." One of the reasons Jesus came to this world was to forgive us of our sins, that we could have a clean temple, that the Holy Spirit could come and fill us with His presence. So Jesus said, it's important that I go away, that I can send the Holy Spirit. For when He has come... Now, these are some of the functions of the Holy Spirit. He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth is come, He will guide you into all truth. You know, it's the function of the Holy Spirit is to guide us into all truth. The Holy Spirit came to bring conviction of sin to a lost world. When He said He came to reprove the world of sin, He came to bring conviction. Do you remember a time that you have been what you would say, I'm under Holy Ghost conviction? When have you had the Holy Spirit convict you? Do you remember times, and I think about times even as a child, that when the Word of God was going forward and you know that you just feel uncomfortable and you feel that moving inside because you feel the Spirit of God talking to your heart personally. See, that goes beyond just the Bible saying something, which we've also already preached on the importance of that. But now, it's the Holy Spirit that wants to take the Word and personalize it to us. So when someone says, I'm under conviction, what are they saying? Well, think about Felix, who Paul was ministering to. And he was reasoning of righteousness and judgment and temperance. He was thinking about those things to come, and it said he trembled. He trembled. Almost thou persuadest me. Almost thou persuadest. When I have a convenient time, he said, actually. He said, when I have a convenient time, I'll call for you. He was under conviction. He was thinking about it. The Spirit of God was calling him. And in his heart, he knew that what he heard was right. And it was personal. It's more than just hearing truth over here. It was being personally revealed to him. So we would say he was under conviction. Because when we are under conviction, the Holy Spirit is naming us out, calling us. This is the truth, and you need this in your life, and I'm calling you. But do you realize that when we are under conviction of the Holy Spirit, we have a decision to make? Are we going to yield and say yes to the conviction of the Holy Spirit? Because that conviction is based on a belief. When I've heard the word of God, it is a belief that this is true and this is right and I am being called to that truth. But now what am I going to do with it? Would it be fair to ask us this morning, what are you doing with the conviction that the Holy Spirit brings on your life? You know, the time when the Holy Spirit is calling is the time to yield. When the Holy Spirit is talking to you, that's the time to say, yes, Lord. Because I have seen many times when people ignore the dealings of the Holy Spirit and they put the Holy Spirit off. And they have conviction. I believe this is right. I know it's right. But I'm not yielding to it. I think I'll go home. I think I'll wait a little time. And pretty soon they say, well, the conviction's gone. They don't feel that strong purpose and desire, and they don't hear the call of the Spirit anymore. The time to answer the call of the Spirit is when He's dealing. And I want to say this morning, if and when the Holy Spirit deals with things in your life, if you put Him off, I will say this morning, in love, you are in a very dangerous place. It is the mercy of God when He sends His Holy Spirit again to deal with us. And I'm sure probably all of us can say, I'm so thankful the Lord didn't stop with once. He came back again and He convicted me. He gave me a strongly held belief and I heard the call and draw of the Spirit. But if we neglect the call, we're going to stop hearing the call. And it is really hard to make peace with God when you are not being drawn by the Spirit. Answer the call. May I say, not just to those that may not be saved this morning, to all of us in issues and things. See, we've been talking about how are we supposed to live our life? What does God want us to do? How are we to conduct ourselves? How are we to act? How are we to talk? Where are we to go? How are we to dress? All of these issues. We need personal conviction this morning. We need to have a strongly held belief that is based on the Word of God, that this is what the Lord wants me to do. And if we ignore the convicting power of the Holy Spirit, we will be a people without convictions. When I respond to the dealing of the Holy Spirit and I say yes, now it's made personal to me and I've got a conviction that this is right. Well, it's very closely tied to truth. The Holy Spirit will never lead us in a way that is contrary to the Word of God. Many times people use and they spiritualize it. They know all the right words to use in the Bible words. Well, the Spirit of the Lord has led me. God told me. How can you argue with someone when they say God told them? You know, people use God pretty loosely. Well, God told me. In other words, be quiet. I don't want to hear your advice. God, the Lord revealed to me. They've just tied your hands from saying anything. Folks, the Holy Spirit will never lead us differently than what the Bible teaches. So if the Word of God says something, the New Testament, it teaches something, and someone says, well, the Holy Spirit showed me something different, they misunderstood the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit works according to the Word of God, and He will never teach us or lead us differently from that. So when the Holy Spirit has come, He'll guide us in truth. He will make it personal. So it is vital for us this morning that we have a personal revelation of truth. What are you willing to stand for this morning? Where are your convictions? The Holy Spirit has made it real for me. I was actually in Ghana one time, and I was working with a minister from a denomination that there was an issue of truth, an issue that came up of practice that he did that I didn't do. And I knew what the Bible said about it. It was very clear. I knew what the Bible said. And I could give a Bible lesson. I could teach it. But I was like, Lord, I know what the Bible says, but I need something personally. And I remember the Holy Spirit through the study of the Word. Through the study of the Word, the Holy Spirit came and made it alive to me. He made it alive to me that I can stand and I can teach and I can preach and I can live because I've got a conviction that this is right and this is true. It was personal. Folks, we need to seek God. We need to study the Word of God, but the Holy Spirit wants you to get deeply held beliefs and personal convictions based on the Word of God. That when someone says, why do you do that? Number one, the Word of God teaches it. But also, the Holy Spirit has made that real to me. And you can't convince me otherwise because it's in the Word and the Spirit has made it real. Do you realize that trying to follow a pattern of teaching, as good as it might be, without personal conviction, still tends to bondage? Did you get that? If it's not personal to you, it will become in your hearing. In your hearing, it will become about a list of rules or regulations or bondage to fit into a group of people or a specific belief system or a congregation. But when we begin to say, Lord, I want to know what the Word of God says, and we begin to open up our heart, and the Holy Spirit comes and talks to us, and He confirms His leadings by the Word. Now I can tell you the reason I live like I do is because of the Word and the Spirit. Two witnesses that God gave to us, and it's personal to me. Now it's more than, well, my church teaches this, because again, you can go down the road and someone else can say something else. Their church teaches something different. But when it comes to the Word of God, this is life. This is the foundation of truth. But it takes us getting it personally. Well, this is what happened when Jesus, and we won't take the time for the sake of time this morning, but you can find it in the 16th chapter of Matthew. When Jesus asked his disciples, he said, who do men say that I am? Matthew 16, verse 15 to 18. Who do men say that I am? And they said, well, some say you're Elias and some John the Baptist. And Jesus looked and said, but who do you say that I am? Who do you say that Jesus is this morning? You can say, well, the church says this, or you can even quote the scripture. Well, the Bible says that, but Jesus looked on him and said, who do you say that I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered him and said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this to thee, but my Father which is in heaven. It was personal then. Because you see, Peter and the disciples, they had studied and they knew some of the prophecies. So they knew by the Word of God who the Messiah was. But God had confirmed that truth to their heart. And Peter said, thou art the Christ. So who is Jesus to you this morning? Well, the Bible says, my grandma said... But who do you say that he is? Who is Jesus to you? And when you have that answer, and you have seen Jesus for yourself, all the deep conviction that I know that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And when atheists and agnostics and people of other religions of this world come, and they may try to argue, and they may try to take the scripture, and they may try to take all these things to disprove it, I can stand firmly persuaded that I know Jesus is the Christ, because I found it in His Word, but I found it true personally in my life. You can argue if you want about history. You can argue about background. You can argue about archaeology. You can argue about those things. But you cannot steal from me what God has done in my life, because this is my experience. And I'm convicted that Jesus is the Christ. I have a deep-seated conviction this morning that the blood of Jesus still cleanses from all sin. And some can look on and say, yeah, but look how bad it is. Look how addicted they are. Look at the destruction they've caused in their family. I am convicted this morning. I have a deep-seated personal belief from the Word and the Spirit that the blood of Jesus can transform your life. And I have a wonderful message to take to the world. And I don't have to hold my head in shame. Someone says, why do you believe what you believe? Has anybody ever asked you about a belief that you didn't really believe? And you kind of start hem-hawing and kind of, well, you know, it's... Do you have conviction? You know what we need to do this morning? We need to start praying for more personal convictions in our life. From the Word of God. Lord, I want a conviction of this. I know it's truth because I know it's in the Word. But Lord, I need that personally in my life, that deep-seated belief. So what do you believe? What do you stand on? Convictions are based on truth. It's based on, but it's also by revelation. But revelation will never contradict the Word of God. And that's so important when we... So what are your core convictions this morning? Have you thought about it recently? If we just had an open discussion this morning, or after service, someone comes up and says, what are your convictions? What would we say? I've got some core convictions this morning. Jesus is the Son of God. Everyone that responds to the call of the Spirit can be saved. I believe, I'm convicted that love is the foundation of all of this. Jesus said it, but I'm convicted of it. I have a strong belief. And when I see Pharisees, modern day Pharisees, and they've got their standards right. You hear what I said? They've got the standard good and clean, but they've lost the spirit of love. They've missed it all. We can dress up however we want, but it will not cover up the deceitfulness of our hearts. I need the Lord. I am convicted that the Lord wants to transform our heart. That will lead me to live a good and a godly and righteous life. I'm convicted of that. What do you believe? Do you have convictions of truth this morning? I'm convicted that we must forgive those that trespass against us. It's the Word of God. I'm personally convicted of it. Personally. I'm convicted that that is right. And if someone doesn't treat you right, little something recently I told my wife, I said, you know, there's a time something happens, you can talk about it. But after you kind of talk about it, even in a marriage, and it wasn't between us, just for clarity's sake, it doesn't mean there's never been something between us. Didn't mean there was never a time I hadn't had to forgive my wife and she had to forgive me, right? But it meant that there's a time to talk about this. But at the end of the day, and I don't even want to wait till the end of the day, it's like, you know what, Renee? We've got to forgive that person. You know what may be upsetting, it may be frustrating, but we've got to forgive because there's more important things than holding a grudge. I'm convicted of that. Because Jesus said, if you don't forgive those that trespass against you, I won't forgive you. Does anybody here have a conviction of forgiveness? I am convicted that that is a truth. What about the outward man? Do you know the Bible, and we're going to address this, Lord willing, sometime. But, you know, the outward man, to dress modestly, do you have a conviction of that? You know that's a Bible doctrine? to dress modestly. That's an outward thing. A carnal person can dress modestly. That does not make them acceptable to God, lest there be any confusion. And I'm not ashamed to say that. You can dress up however you want. It's not going to change your heart. Folks, we need a heart change. But when the heart has been changed, it's going to change how I live my life. Because my convictions are going to shape my decisions and choices in life. So the scripture tells us to dress modestly. I have a conviction of that. That's a Bible doctrine. Then it comes out in principle and standards, and that's for another day. But we must have a conviction based on doctrine. What about what we ended up with last Sunday? I won't put you on the spot and ask if you remember where we ended up. But whatever you do, do all to what? To the glory of God. Do you have a conviction in your life that whatever you do should be to the glory of God? We say, yeah, I know the scripture says it, and I know the Bible's true, but are you convicted of it? Every decision we make, Lord, I want it to be to the glory of God. May the Lord give us some personal convictions this morning. And if you don't have them, I want to encourage you to start seeking for some more personal convictions in your life based on truth. Because without personal conviction of truth, there is really not a lot to motivate us to obedience. You see, there's not a lot to motivate us, even with a head knowledge of the doctrine. Even with a head knowledge, I want to seek the Spirit of God to draw me personally, that I would have a deeply seated personal belief and knowledge that this is right. So when I'm faced with decisions, okay, let's use another example. What about adultery? Is adultery sin? The Bible says it very clearly. Adultery is sin. I can have a head knowledge of that. Yeah, I know the Bible teaches that it's sin. In time of temptation, will just a head knowledge keep me? I need a conviction. I think about Joseph when Potiphar's wife tempted. Joseph stopped for a moment. He ran. But he asked himself, he said, how can I do this thing? How can I do this thing? I believe he had a conviction. Folks, convictions will help us withstand temptations. Not just with adultery and fornication, but with many things in life. When we have a conviction, when the world is going, the fads and the fashions, in the attitudes, in this selfish generation that we live in, convictions based on the Word will keep us from yielding to those temptations that are trying to draw us in to be like the world. The world is so self-focused. And yet Jesus told us to love our neighbors and to put others before ourselves and have the mind of a servant. Do you know when we have a personal conviction of that, when we're tempted to be selfish, there's going to be that moment, it's like, wait, no, how can I do this? I don't feel like it and I don't want to in the flesh, but in the spirit, yes, Lord, and we put someone else before our own welfare because we have a conviction. Convictions motivate us to do what's right. They will help us withstand. That's why he said in the book of Galatians chapter 5, walk ye in the Spirit, and ye will not fulfill what? The lust of the flesh. How do we walk in the Spirit? By hearing the call of the Spirit. According to the Word of God, that I hear the call, I submit to that call, and I am convicted. I have a conviction then because I surrendered to the call of the Spirit. When we yield to the conviction of the Spirit, it leaves us with conviction. It leaves us with belief that I'm going to accept that it's right, but yet the devils believe. You say, yeah, I believe that's right. Well, James said even the devils believe and tremble, but they're not submitting to it. So now that I believe it, I'm going to submit and accept that, yes, this is truth, and that's what I'm going to follow. So if we do not have convictions this morning, we are going to find ourselves giving in to the pressures of the world and the mindset and the philosophies rather than the Word of God. I want to build my life on a firm foundation this morning. And if there are things that you don't know, I won't ask for a show of hands, but are there things in your life that you really don't understand that the Bible teaches? And it's like, I don't really understand that. And I don't really know what God wants. That's okay. But you know, in the book of Hosea, and I love this chapter, this verse, Hosea 6:3 said, "Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord." Don't give up on doing. I've heard people say, "Well, I don't know what the Lord wants here." And so I ask them, "Are you doing what you know the Lord wants in other areas of your life?" They said, "But I don't know what God wants here." But are you being faithful to do what you know is right? Be faithful to do what you know is right and ask God to lead you. Ask God for personal revelation. "Lord, I know the Bible says it this way, but I need it personal." That's why Jesus sent, one of the reasons why Jesus sent the Holy Spirit was to make it personal. Then shall we know when the time is right this morning, if we will continue to be faithful and obedient to what we know, the questions that we do have, in the right time, the Spirit of the Lord will start answering those questions and giving us convictions based on the truth. "It is God which worketh in you, both the will and the do of His good pleasure." You know what the scripture says before that? It says, "Work out your own salvation with" what? "With fear and trembling." It was not mean that, well, I'm going to go my way. This is what the religious world is doing. We're all trying to make it to heaven. You go your way, I'll go my way. No, that's not what the Bible says. Jesus said there's one way, and it's the way of Christ. It's the way of truth. But you need to work out your salvation. In other words, I can't give it to you. I can preach the gospel. I can share the truth. And the Holy Spirit can deal with you. But you're going to have to work it out in your life to come to a place to be a person of conviction. I think there needs to be some working out of our salvation this morning. I think people are getting too lazy spiritually. We need to do some working out of our salvation this morning. I believe this. And if you believe it, what are we doing with it? What are we doing about it? And the Lord wants to continue to lead and direct us. And convictions come about. We'll close here in just a moment. Convictions come about. And Lord, help the ministry by the foolishness of preaching. You know why? Because true convictions come by the Word and the Spirit. So it takes the Word of God being preached to enable the Holy Spirit to have something to work with in our life. So if we never preach things that make us uncomfortable, have you ever thought, well, I don't know why, that they just need to stay away from that subject? But how will the Holy Spirit ever convict us of truth if the full truth of the Word is not being preached? So when it cuts a little bit close, let's not see it as, well, the pastor's stepping on my toes. Well, then, don't let it step on your toes. Say, "Thank you, Lord, for the truth. And if I don't understand it today, Lord, I'm going to start seeking you to understand it. Because I want to be more like Christ, and I want to make it." So convictions come by truth. And I will just say, it comes by choice of what we're going to do with it. When the seed was sown, remember, some fell by the wayside. People can leave when the Holy Spirit is dealing, and it's just like they never heard it. You can go home the same way that you came this morning if you want to. You can go home unchanged. But if you do, you are letting the Word fall by the wayside. But if we can open up our hearts and say, "Lord, I want your Word to take root in my heart, watered by the Spirit, that it would start growing and bringing forth fruit," and that brings about that conviction of what is right. So why do you live like you live this morning? This is what we've been talking about. Why do you do what you do? Opinion, truth, tradition. When we have conviction of truth, It will bring about personal standards in our life. I cannot place my personal standards on you, but I can teach the principle of truth. I can preach the Word of God because that is fixed. But we need personal convictions that in our life we will then draw, make standards in our life to keep us in a safe place as we follow on to know the Lord. Appreciate your time and attention this morning. May the Lord bless us. If you have questions this morning, pray for divine revelation by the Word of God that you can develop some deeper conviction of what is right. Amen.